Welcome to episode 3 of our Easter special, The Centurion's Witness, a production of 1010 Thrive Ministries.
After Tobias was healed, life did not stop. Rome did not pause to consider what had happened in my house. Orders still came, patrols still marched, taxes were still collected, men still looked to me for command. And yet, something had shifted. Not around me, within me.
Marcus, you've been up here every evening this week.
It's quieter than the barracks.
Since when do you prefer quiet?
Since I heard a man speak without raising his voice and command more attention than Caesar himself.
The men are still talking about it. You know, Tobias walking around like nothing ever happened. Some of them swear it was the gods, but I think you believe it was the rabbi.
Marcus, what manner of man is this? Could it be that he has command over life and death itself?
You're starting to sound like one of them.
No, I'm starting to realize how little I understand. In the weeks that followed, I found myself watching, listening. Not to him, I did not go to see him again, but to the people.
My sister says he restored her sight.
They say he eats with tax collectors, sinners, as if rank means nothing to him.
Or he's a fool. Rome will crush him if he causes trouble.
Every report was different. A healer, a teacher, a threat, a prophet. And yet, there was a thread running through all of it. Not fear, never fear.
You could request an audience. You're a centurion. You have standing.
If I go to him as a centurion, I will hear him as a centurion. And I am no longer certain that is how he should be heard. This was new to me. In Rome, rank defines everything. A man is either above you or beneath you. But this man, this Jesus, he spoke as if there were another kind of kingdom entirely, one where power was not taken, but given, where strength looked like mercy, where enemies were loved.
That kind of thinking will get a man killed.
Yes. I began to see Judea differently, not as a province to control, but as a people waiting. Waiting for something I could not name. And I, Rome's instrument of order, found myself standing in the middle of it, no longer certain which side of history I served.
If this man is who you think he is, what does that make us?
That is the question I cannot escape.
Not all threats in Judea wore robes or spoke in riddles. Some carried blades. Rome understood those men.
Centurion. We caught him near the road to Magdala, watching a patrol, armed.
Name?
Names are for free men.
Then we'll call you Dead Man.
You can kill a body, soldier. Not a cause. Rome has made many dead men, and still we're here.
You have much to say for a man in chains.
You think death ends a man. You're about to learn otherwise.
Cassius, leave us. You too, Marcus.
Sir.
Outside.
I had interrogated dozens like him. The pattern was always the same. Hatred, certainty, and a willingness to die for both. You were watching our patrol routes. That makes you more than a farmer with a grievance. Who do you serve?
Israel.
Israel is not a man. Give me a name.
You already know the name, you just don't understand it.
Help me then.
We serve the kingdom.
That word again, kingdom. It was everywhere now. You think stabbing soldiers in the dark will bring you a kingdom? Rome has crushed greater rebellions than yours.
Rome always says that, right before it falls.
Rome does not, will not, fall.
Every empire says that.
And this kingdom of yours, who leads it? Another would-be king? Another man with a sword?
You've heard of him.
Say it.
Jesus.
His name again. In places it did not belong. The teacher, the healer, you're telling me he leads armed men?
No.
Then why speak his name?
Because he speaks of a kingdom.
So do you.
Not the same one. I heard him once on a hillside. He told a story.
What story?
He said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was attacked, stripped, beaten, left for dead. A priest came by, saw him, and passed on the other side. A Levite did the same.
I knew these types. Religious men. Careful men.
But then, a Samaritan came, an enemy, and he stopped. He bound the man's wounds, carried him, paid for his care. And your teacher asked, which of these was a neighbor?
The one who showed mercy.
Yes. That's precisely what Jesus said.
I did not realize I had answered aloud. I quickly gathered myself and asked the zealot, and what does that have to do with rebellion?
Ah, don't you see? Everything.
Explain.
He tells us to love enemies, to show mercy, to lay down vengeance.
And yet you carry a blade.
Because mercy will not free us. You think Rome can be reasoned with? You think kindness will loosen your grip on our necks?
Careful zealot, remember where you are and who I am.
He speaks of a kingdom where men like you would not rule us. Where power is not taken, but given. Where enemies are not crushed, but restored. And I do not know how to live in that kingdom.
There it was. Not hatred, not certainty, conflict. So you chose a different path.
I chose the only path that makes sense in this world.
And what if his kingdom is not of this world?
Then why is he here?
We sat there across from each other, the question hanging in there between us. I had no answer. Finally, I could hear Marcus calling to me from outside.
Centurion, what are we to do with this man?
I blinked and held my breath for a moment, and then I spoke. He's to be held for transfer. He will be confined to one of the cells on the garrison. No execution.
He's a zealot.
He's a man. As they took him away, I found myself thinking not of Rome, not of rebellion, but of a story.
Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?
The one who showed him mercy.
You go and do likewise.
A kingdom where enemies show mercy. I had enforced Rome's version of peace for 20 years, and suddenly, I was no longer certain which kingdom was stronger.
To be continued.